This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. One of the most powerful and beautiful surahs of the Quran to reflect on is Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran. Now for many of us, we don't really take the time to read the surah, to study its tafsir and to reflect on it. I think one of the main reasons is because it's the longest surah in the Quran. So it's 2.5 juz, right? It's the first, second and a half of the third juz of the Quran. So for many people, when they're looking for a surah to study, when they're looking for some tafsir to do, they look for something short. You know, we want to do Surah Al-Asr, Surah Ikhlas, most maybe Surah Yasin, Surah Al-Waqia, but we tend to stay away from the early surahs because they're very long. And that's a shortcoming on our end, because these long surahs are just packed full of gems. They're just packed full of so beautiful, beautiful messages that can transform our lives. And today I just want to share some brief reflections on the themes, the overall themes of Surah Al-Baqarah and the history of Surah Al-Baqarah, so we can appreciate the Surah and hopefully it will motivate us to study the Surah on our own and to recite it more often. In fact, last week's khutbah was a reflection on one of the verses from the Surah. In fact, many of our khutbahs have been just taking one verse from the Surah and reflecting on it. But I want us now to look at the overall theme. So Surah Al-Baqarah was actually the first major revelation of the Medinan period. Right? Our history can be divided into the Makkan and the Medinan era, before Hijrah and after Hijrah. The Makkan revelation focused primarily on our beliefs. Belief in Allah, the messengers, stories of the prophets, the afterlife, paradise, hell. These are the core themes of the Makkan surahs. The Medinan surahs focused primarily on the laws, right? The laws of Islam. Things like inheritance law, marriage law, divorce law, jihad law, fasting, salah, zakah, hajj, the laws. Surah Al-Baqarah is like a bridge between those two worlds, because it was revealed in the first year after Hijrah. And the first half of the surah is a recap of all our core beliefs. And the second half of the surah is a laying down of all the laws of Islam. And so, it's as if we're seeing the transition from Makkan revelation into Medinan revelation. As the topics begin to change, right? As the theme of belief in Allah and belief in His Messenger is now cemented in the hearts of the believers, now the topic changes to what does Allah want from you? And there is a methodology behind this, right? There is a methodology behind this method of revelation and this method of education. Aisha radiallahu anha said that if the first laws to be revealed was don't fornicate or don't drink alcohol, people would have said we're not gonna listen, right? But the first revelation with the Aqidah, laws about paradise, actually verses about paradise and hell and judgment day and Allah, and when this was cemented in the hearts of people, then only the laws came down. And Surah Al-Baqarah shows us that moment when the cementation takes place in the hearts of the believers, because most of the surahs before Surah Al-Baqarah, most of the surahs revealed before that are calling on people to believe. They are calling on people to think and to reflect and to believe. And the Surah Al-Baqarah begins by saying about the believers that, you know, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. The last part is really what I'm referring to. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. They have yaqeen, they have conviction in the afterlife. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we spent 13 years teaching you the aqidah. Now you have yaqeen in the aqidah. Now you have conviction in the beliefs of Islam. Now come the laws. And then this is followed by a series of verses explaining to us the importance of the law. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, He explains to us why we should follow the law. Allah created us for a purpose. Allah created us to be Khalifatul Ard, to represent His will on earth. Allah created us to worship Him. Then Allah sent down the revelations and we obey the messengers and we follow the laws of Allah. And then there's wisdom behind the laws of Allah. And then He gives us the example in the surah of Bani Israel, who rejected some of the laws. They picked and choose what they want from the revelation and the results of that. So all of this is building up to a central message. And that central message is, the law is now coming from your Creator. Obey it. Obey the laws of Allah. Right, that is the message. And so you see the first part of Surah Baqarah, what you will find in the first juz of the Quran, is building up that conviction in the law. That this, that Allah sent messengers before, the laws came down before, those who obeyed it were successful, those who rejected it were unsuccessful. You should obey Allah, you must obey Allah, there's wisdom behind the laws of Allah, and then Allah begins to reveal the laws. And this surah is one of the most law-heavy surahs in the Qur'an. There are very few surahs in the Qur'an that are just packed full of Sharia rulings, right? There are very few. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Nisa, and Surah Ma'idah are perhaps the three that have the most fiqh rulings or Sharia rulings in them. But you'll find when you read the second juz of the Qur'an, which is also Surah Baqarah, here it's just law. It's almost the entire juz is just the laws of Islam. Where Allah tells us the laws of fasting, the laws of Hajj, the laws of marriage, the laws of divorce, the laws of jihad. He tells us the criminal laws of Islam. So there's a lot of laws coming down. And again, putting back in the historical context, this was the first and second year after Hijrah. The Muslims are now at their own community. Rasulullah is now the leader of a community. Now the laws are being revealed to that community because now they're in a position to apply the law. They are now in a position to have a civilization that is built on the Quran where they can actually apply the laws. And so the laws are being revealed. And so the second part of the surah, it is all of these major laws of Islam. But one of the beautiful things about this section of Surah Al-Baqarah is in between the laws, Allah talks about the wisdom behind the laws. In between the law, there's always a discussion on the wisdom behind the law. So Allah doesn't just tell us to obey, but sometimes He tells us why. And sometimes He gives us a glimpse at the infinite wisdom of Al-Hakim. And so, for example, Allah tells us in the surah to fast the month of Ramadan. And then He tells us why. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that your taqwa increases. Allah tells us that if you're traveling or sick, you don't have to fast. And then He tells us why. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ Allah wants ease for you, doesn't want difficulty for you. Allah tells the believers to go for jihad. Remember, this is revealed around the time of the Battle of Badr. These are actually the first verses of jihad to be revealed at the time of the Battle of Badr. And then Allah reveals that verse that we discussed last week, where He said that sometimes you don't like something, but it's good for you. We're talking about jihad. That you know, you might not like it, but it's good for you. And that applies to all of the laws of Islam. And so we see there's this balance in this surah between telling us the laws and telling us to obey the law, but also giving us a glimpse of the divine wisdom behind the law. So Allah is calling on us to hear and to obey. And He's giving us an overall summary of what the Quran teaches in terms of its laws. Some of the other themes that you'll find in Surah Al-Baqarah, besides the laws of Islam, one of the themes that goes throughout the surah are the three different attitudes that people have towards revelation. They are those who will believe in it, those who will reject it, and those who will be munafiqun, hypocrites, pretending to believe, but in their heart there is no belief. And the surah begins by giving us just five verses describing the believer. And then just three verses describing the disbeliever. And then two pages describing the hypocrite, describing the munafiq. So why is there so much more description of the munafiq than the other two categories? Again, go back to the time when it was revealed. Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed in the beginning of the Madinan era. In Makkah, there were no munafiqun. They were just believers and disbelievers. In Medina, for the first time, the Muslims now have to deal with people who are pretending to be Muslim. This is the first time encountering a group of people who are outwardly Muslim, but inwardly the enemies of Islam. And they don't know about this group. They're not even aware this group exists sometimes. Right? Maybe the Sahaba may not have been aware that they were Munafiq in Medina. And so Allah gave a detailed description that people like this exist. These are their signs. Now, one of the mistakes we make these days, right? When we read descriptions of the hypocrites in the Quran, many of us look around and we think about other people like, yeah, this guy matches this description, that person matches, no, maybe he's a Munafiq, right? And we start judging everybody else in our minds. The purpose of these verses is to look inwardly. Ask yourself, do I have any of the qualities of a Munafiq? Do I have any of the qualities of a hypocrite? And there's a very detailed list in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the hypocrites are those who... There's beautiful description of choice of words. Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. When they are told not to cause corruption on earth, they say, we're just reforming. We're just making things better. We're just improving things. Right? The choice of words is very interesting. Muslihun, from the word Islam, from the word reformation, which is what every group uses to describe the methodology these days. Everyone feels they're doing reformation, but each of us have different ideas of what reformation is. Allah is saying sometimes someone thinks they're doing reformation, but what they're doing is corruption. Right? If you don't even realize that you're doing corruption. Allah is saying, they're not even aware of it. Allah says, Allah innahum mufsiduna walakin la yashurun. Is Allah says they are causing corruption without even knowing it. So what's the purpose of this verse? This verse is for us to look inwardly at our own opinions and our own methodologies and to ask ourselves, the methodology that I have adapted, is it causing corruption? Is it making things better or worse? Am I really doing the right thing? Because sometimes we get so caught up in our own understandings, in our own interpretations, we don't realize that we are the causes of corruption. And so it called us to look inwardly and ensure that our methodology is sound. And that what we are calling to is truly the meaning of the Quran and Sunnah and not our own misinterpretation of the Quran and Sunnah. Another quality of the hypocrites laid out in these verses is that they tend to look down upon the masses of Muslims. They have an I am better than you attitude towards the average Muslim. A judgmental attitude towards the average Muslim. So Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. When they are told to believe like everybody else believes, they say, should we believe like the idiots believe? Sufaha, an idiot, a stupid person, right? So Allah is showing you the mindset of the hypocrite, that they look at the true believers as a bunch of idiots. They look down upon them. There's this arrogance in their heart, that they think they are more intelligent than the believers. They think they are better than everybody else. And anyone with a sectarian mindset needs to be aware of this. Because sectarianism makes you feel you are better than anyone else. And you keep making your circle smaller and smaller. Because to you, everybody else is, you know, they're off the straight path. And everybody else is not a real Muslim, not a good Muslim. And everybody else is Munafiq, except for you and 5 or 10 people. Right? Your group just gets smaller and smaller. And you think everybody else is sufaha, everybody else is stupid, and you're the only one who's right. Beware of this. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that the majority of the ummah will always be on the straight path. Right? That what the majority of Muslims cling to, that is Islam. Not one small group, 1% come with an opinion. That's not Islam. Right? Islam is not what the 1% hold on to. It's what the majority of Muslims have collectively agreed upon. So for example, the majority of Muslims in the world believe in praying 5 times a day. If some new reformer comes on the scene and says you only have to pray once a day, or that Salah has been abrogated, or that you have misunderstood the verses of Salah, we won't take him seriously. Right? Because this is a new reformation or misinterpretation of the religion. This is not what the Ummah has agreed upon. And so it's very important that you look at the broader Ummah as the collective umbrella of right and wrong within Islam, instead of looking at these small pockets of new interpretations that keep popping up all over the world. And so Allah warns us about this mindset. And He warns us that this is something that's going to be there from this point onwards. There will be munafiqun. There will be people who will be Muslims outwardly, but the enemies of Islam inwardly. And we need to be careful that we don't become them and that we don't follow them. Another interesting point about Surah Al-Baqarah is that the first actual command in Surah Al-Baqarah is Ya ayyuha an-nasu ubudu rabbakum. O mankind, worship your Lord. If you're actually reading the Quran from the beginning, the first command you come upon is, O mankind, worship your Lord. Right from the beginning, the first command is Tawheed, worship the Creator. And that really forms the foundation of everything else. Because everything else is based on worshipping the Creator. You're not going to follow the Islamic laws of marriage and divorce if you don't believe in the Creator. You're not going to have any zeal towards jihad if you don't believe in the Creator. You're not going to fast the month of Ramadan if you don't believe in the Creator. All of this is ibadah, all of this is the worship of Allah. And so that's the very first command in the surah is Ya ayyuha an-nas u'budu rabbakum. O mankind, worship your Lord. And the first story that comes in the surah, the first story in the Quran, if you're reading from the beginning, is the story of Adam alayhi salam, the first human being. And there's unique wordings to this story. This is one of the most repeated stories in the Quran. But there are unique wordings to the story in Surah Baqarah that link to the overall theme of Surah Baqarah. So Surah Baqarah tells us about the importance of the laws of Islam and obeying the law and trusting Allah's wisdom. And in this version of the story, you know, there's two things, important points. One is, Allah says He's creating a Khalifa on earth. Right? He's creating a creation that would represent His will on earth. And the other important thing is, وَعَلَّمَ عَدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam alayhi salam, you know, the translation is all of the words, all of the names. But really, the interpretation, he taught Adam alayhi salam language. He taught him how to speak, how to communicate, how to put words to your ideas. Because no other creation that we know of, besides the angels and the jinn, have any type of language. Right? They don't have this diversity of languages and thoughts and ideas and the ability to name things the way humans do. Right? Adam alayhi salam was taught this so that we're able to understand, we're able to communicate. And this is very important because this tells us that Allah expects more from us than other creations. Allah is giving humans unique capabilities that He didn't give to animals because He expects more from the human being than He expects from the animals. And this is again laying the framework for obeying the law. And so, to summarize, Surah Al-Baqarah is one of the most important surahs in the Quran. It teaches us to obey the law. It teaches us the wisdom behind the laws. It teaches us the laws of Islam. And it really creates the mindset of the believer. The mindset of the believer is sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. If Allah said it, we obey it. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it, we obey it. This becomes the mindset of the believer. Yes, the madhahib have different ways of interpreting the Quran and Sunnah, but they all have the same mindset, which is we hear and we obey. It's just different interpretations. By the end of the day, the intention is the same. So we ask Allah to allow us to benefit from the Quran and to live by it and to be people of the Quran. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamu ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da amma ba'd fa inna asdaqa hadithi kitabullah wa khayru hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharrul umuri muhdathatuha wa kullu muhdathatin bid'a wa kullu bid'atin dalala wa kullu dalalatin finnar. From the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah, there is a very beautiful hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not turn your homes into graveyards. Shaitan runs away from the home in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. Shaitan runs away from the home in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. There are levels of meaning to this hadith. One meaning of this hadith is that if you recite Surah Al-Baqarah often in your home, it lessens the chance that Shaitan has any influence over your family. It lowers the chance of Shaitan being able to whisper into the hearts of your family and misguide them. And so it keeps the devils out of your home in that sense. The other meaning of this verse, and it's also correct, is that this surah is a ruqya. This surah is a means of protection from jinn and from sihr and from any of these negative elements. Right? And just a general tip, if you're dealing with something supernatural in your home and you don't know what to do about it, just sit and read the entire Surah Baqarah. Sit and read the entire Surah Baqarah. Right? I know many people who did this and it worked. One of my teachers, he told me the story that he was a convert from Christianity to Islam. He's a great scholar of Islam, alhamdulillah. And he said he spent 20 years trying to convince his mother to convert to Islam. Nothing worked. And he said once there was a jinn in his mother's house and she called every Christian priest to get rid of it. You know, they did their things, whatever, the jinn wasn't going. He said he went to his mother's house, he sat down, he recited the whole of Surah Baqarah, everything stopped. Whatever weird stuff was happening, everything stopped. It never happened again. She asked him what he did and he told her the hadith that the devils run away from the home in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. And that's when she took her shahada and converted to Islam. And I know many other stories like this. Do not underestimate the power of the Quran. You know, many of us, when we experience something supernatural, we run to others to help us. And sometimes those people might be con artists. Sometimes they want to charge you a lot of money. Sometimes they just come and do weird things, they make things worse. So start with the basics. Start with Ayatul Kursi, start with the three goals, start with Surah Baqarah. This is Allah's Kalam, and Allah's Kalam is the most powerful way of protecting yourself from the devils. So this is one of the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah. So what I call upon us to do today is to revive in our families the tradition of reciting Surah Al-Baqarah or as often as possible. There's another hadith that says that Surah Al-Baqarah brings barakah into the home. It brings barakah into the home. So that's another reason to recite it often. And there are virtues attached to specific verses in the Surah as well. Ayatul Kursi is in the Surah. And the closing two verses of the Surah are also special. There's a hadith that says that a special door in Jannah opened when the last two verses of Surah Baqarah were revealed. Just to celebrate the revelation of these two powerful verses. So it's a very powerful surah, and that's why we should not ignore it just because we think it's too long. No, we should take time to recite it. And maybe if you can't recite the whole thing in one day, split up over 3 days, right? Read one juz, then the next juz, the next half juz, then you're done. But revive this habit. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah often. Teach it to your children. Study the tafsir. Do tadabbur on its verses. Because really the whole message of Islam is summarized in the Surah. And if we understand Surah Baqarah and we live by Surah Baqarah, you will be living Islam. And this is what the Sahaba did. We know the famous story of one of the Sahaba who spent 10 years just studying Surah Baqarah. Why? Because for every verse he memorized, he made sure he understood it and he lived by it before moving on to the next verse. And he gave that special attention to Surah Baqarah because really this is everything. Every message and law of Islam, you can find it in the Surah. If you are practicing every verse of the Surah, you are following Islam to the T. So let us revive the study of the Surah. Let us revive the recitation of the Surah. Let us make it part of our lives, make it part of our homes. We ask Allah to grant us the correct understanding of the Quran, to make us from the people of the Quran, and to make us from those who love and teach the Quran. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ.